When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kaum," which means, little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
Let's pray, everyone, as we look more closely together at God's word from Mark chapter 5. Gracious, loving, heavenly Father, by your Spirit, we ask that you may open our eyes that we might indeed see the wonderful things that are in your word. We do pray, Lord, that you would open our ears to hear your call on our lives. We do pray, Lord, that you would open our minds to take in the truths of your kingdom, and we ask that you may open our hearts, that you would speak into them, and that we may offer our lives to you in willing service. And so we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, last Saturday at home, the girls had organised a party, and so the boys escaped. We went to see a film, One Life, and I should say at this moment is a spoiler alert, but please listen. One Life is about Nicholas Winton and his efforts to rescue Jewish children from the and families, really, from the place in Czechoslovakia, the Germans and the countries of Germany and Austria. The kids had wanting to get out of that. The Nazis had come in, and so Winton goes to Prague in the year of 1938, and he sees the situation, horrendous living conditions faced by the refugees. There's little food there, poor shelter, the fear of the Nazi invasion, and the strong possibility of the death of the children. And in a race against time, Winton hurries to rescue several hundred Jewish children, seeing them relocated in foster homes in Britain. However, for years, Winton lived knowing that the children, that so many of the children weren't rescued due to the Nazi invasion in Europe, which occurred in 1939. It grieved him for years. But as the film portrays, 50 years later, it's 1988, and he's there in the studio audience for the popular program in England called That's Life. And so Winton has been invited there, and he sits at the front of the studio audience, and it's full of people not realising that they are there, and most of them are there who had actually been rescued by Nicholas Winton during 1938 and 39. There's a wonderful moment in the film, a most moving story indeed. A last crowd had gathered around Jesus, very familiar really, as he returned by boat to the western shore of Galilee. Jairus is a highly regarded man. He's there, and he sees Jesus, and he falls at his feet, which is very unusual for a local leader of a local synagogue to do. But, of course, he's a father as well, a desperate father. Like those Jewish children under great threat, Jairus' little daughter is facing death. His plea is earnest with Jesus. It's a great plea, nothing subtle about it, nothing held back, but very humble, helpless. He says, "Please come," he says. "Please come and put your hands on my little daughter so she will be healed and live." You know, come to the bedside, Jesus. You know, Jesus, do you make house calls? If you don't, she's going to die. You can imagine his fear, can't you? What's going through his mind. This is a triple O call, right? That's what you do, isn't it? Something desperate's at home, you get on the phone and you ring 000. And that's what you turn to, that, and you turn to the people that can help. And how significant what happens next in verse 24. So Jesus. Don't you love that? All that's taken place. So Jesus. It's the response of the plea, isn't it? It's the response to Jairus' desperation. So Jesus went with him. When was the last time you were desperate? At the end of your tether. You know, sometimes in God's providence, we may reach such a place so we will plead most earnestly to the Lord Jesus. Have you been there? Maybe that's where you are this morning. Desperate for someone in your family. When there aren't many answers. Don't you find it comforting there is a So Jesus? Even though there are hundreds of people all around Jesus, do you think Jesus is too busy for you? Could he be unconcerned about you this morning? A large, a noisy crowd, a universe to uphold. And here we are with our specific need, even desperate. Maybe it's days, weeks of loneliness that you face. What is that compared with the huge problems of the world, compared to someone else? Would Jesus be concerned about my loneliness, the struggles? Don't you just take comfort from this beautiful response from our Lord? He understands. He is moved at once with compassion and went with him. Jairus knew Jesus was the only person who could do something, and Jesus went with him. Does he have any less compassion when you cry to him? He will meet our needs because he knows them and can do something about them according to his will, which is best for you, isn't it? Just in case you're in any doubt about that. His gospel reminds us how much you are loved and how great his compassion is to hear our cries. So this was a plea for life from a father. And then it was a touch for healing. As Jesus is going to Jairus' home, people are pressing on around him, and there's a chronically ill woman in the crowd. She's had no menstrual cycle for 12 years. Just had a constant hemorrhaging. She's in a terrible state. And according to the Old Testament ceremonial law, she's unclean. She's like a leper. She's unfit to take any part in the worship of the community of Israel. Don't go near her. Don't be touched by her. She suffered a physical misery. She suffered a religious misery. She suffered a financial misery. Destitute from doctor's appointments and all the suggested cures, suffering a great deal under their care. What an irony that is, suffering under a great deal from their care. In fear and desperation, she comes up behind Jesus and she thinks, look, if I just sort of touch his clothes, I'll be healed. There's a mixed bag there, isn't there, of faith and superstition. Many thought in Jesus' day, if you just sort of get close to a great person, a great teacher, and just sort of touch their clothes, maybe you could be, that could do it. Recent times there's been ministers on TV who have offered to send the handkerchiefs for cures. You know, they've blessed the handkerchief. And we'll send you that handkerchief in return for a donation. I guess you know what I'm talking about. The money pours in. You see, when you have a hotline to God, that'll do it. She comes to Jesus with this sort of imperfect faith. And we all have imperfect faith, which is not an excuse that we are to grow in our faith. God commands us to grow in our faith, to grow in our understanding of the Lord, to be teachers of God's word, to go on to solid foods, we're told in Hebrews 5. We can probably imagine what's going through her mind. The lady, the woman there, this is my last chance. I've heard many things about Jesus. He doesn't have to stop. I won't bother him. I'll just go up, but he doesn't have to lay a hand on me at all. If I could just get close enough to him and touch his clothes, that might do it. She makes her way through the crowd. She knew the law had of God had banned her from touching anyone, but she touched Jesus. And they suddenly knew that what doctors and the law could not do, Jesus could do. She was clean. She was healed. Now, do you remember there's a child at death's door? And every minute's precious. And Jesus is going there, but he stops. He knows that power has left him. Someone's been healed, but who was it? Isn't that interesting? We believe in the two natures of Christ, that he is truly human and he is truly God. Some things he does according to his human nature. In our series of Mark, what we've seen is that he sleeps on a boat. He gets tired in his humanity. But then Jesus tells that storm on the Sea of Galilee to stop, for he's the Lord God Almighty, creator of the winds and the waves. And with this woman, through Jesus, God's power goes out to heal her. But as to his human nature, we see that he didn't know who touched him. See that? The two natures of Christ. So he stops. He could have kept going. Can you imagine what Jairus is thinking? They were the longest minutes of his life. Jesus is looking around, wanting to know who touched him, just as baffled disciples are saying, "Who isn't touching you?" The woman knows. And no doubt hearing Jesus and seeing him stop and looking around meant, verse 33, that she came and fell, it says, at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. "Jesus, I'm the one who touched you. I was unclean. I've just made you unclean according to the law. Please forgive me. I've been so desperate. I've had this condition for 12 years. I went to every doctor I knew. They took my money. It only got worse. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jesus, because I just knew that if I could touch you, I would be finally healed." She told him the whole truth. What did he say? He didn't tell her, "Your touch made you well." He didn't tell her, "My clothes made you well." He said, "Daughter." Isn't that the most beautiful, affirming title to give her? Daughter. He had the power and the tenderness. "This is what happened, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Not that faith in itself has the power. It's where it's placed, in the object, where it rested. Jesus stopped so this daughter could know Jesus had healed her. The word "healed" there in the text is actually, could be translated, "saved." The same word is used when they said to Jesus on the cross, "Come down and save yourself." We know he's there on the cross to save his people. In faith in Jesus, healed this sick woman. It's that faith in Jesus that brings God's salvation, complete restoration. That's our hope, isn't it? That's our joy. Jesus is our peace. That's our faith. Freedom from what we suffer, if not in this life, but certainly in the one to come. Well, no sooner had Jesus finished that there's a dreadful announcement. Jesus was too late. Your daughter's dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? The sensitivity of a sledgehammer. And humanly speaking, it's over. Is it worth pursuing this need? I've been praying so long about this, waiting so long about this. Everything I feared has happened. Why bother praying now? My husband died. My child died. I'm dying. Why trouble God anymore? And at such times, we must remember that we should never stop troubling the Lord. It's never any trouble for him to hear our cry and to wipe away our tears. So Jesus immediately said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid. Just believe." Who says such a thing? Who says such a thing to a father whose daughter has just died? Someone who's completely delusional? Or someone who knows he can raise the dead? Don't give in to the terror, Jairus, of this. It isn't too late. Just trust me. This is not over. Many travel life's course believing that there is a God. Many still do today. Many believe that some God exists. But it's entirely something different completely to trust that the Lord is there and you can stake your life upon it. To trust him when life is easy and to trust in his goodness when life is falling apart. This isn't impossible for him who gives us faith and sustains us as his children. Well, ignoring this terrible news, Jesus goes, taking a breakaway group with him, really, Peter, James and John, and they reach the house and Jesus is questioning. We see the people wailing about the girl's death, and when he says she's not dead but asleep, they just laugh at him. There are the mourners are mockers. Persevering faith makes no sense to anyone who doesn't know Jesus. They know she's dead. But what Jesus is saying is her death is temporary. They didn't believe for a second he could raise the dead. Some of you I know have lost children in the sense that they don't believe. Now is not the time to laugh that they are beyond Jesus, is it? Now is not the time to scoff if someone says to you, you know, oh, Lord, Jesus can find them. You see, he can raise the dead. Unbelief scoffs at what Jesus can do. Perhaps it seems to be an impossible circumstance. Ask the Lord to give you the gift of persevering faith. And if you aren't facing a severe trial right now, pray the Lord will sustain you in your trust when it comes. What right-minded person laughs at what Jesus says? You put them outside. Literally casts them out, like he did to the legion. It's the same word there, casting out, put them outside. And in they went, Peter, James, John, Jairus and his wife, and Jesus. And he's touching a corpse. Took the hand of the girl, Talitha Kuum, little girl, I say to you, get up. And the Lord of creation says, when he says get up, there's only one result, isn't there? No sooner had the words that he said had been spoken from his mouth than all her strength returned to her immediately. And she stood up, walked around and ate. The powerful Lord uses gentle words. Words that bring life. A message of life. There is no secret method for growing disciples of Jesus. There is no secret ways to see his church growing. He uses his word. The faithful teaching and sharing of that word. And we who follow Jesus are committed to this. We are Christians today by the word that came to us. By this word we grow and we keep on believing. By this word, deceased believers will wake from the dead and rise alive again. And the raising of Jairus' daughter is just a preview of that. We who will die in the Lord shall be raised at the word of the Lord Jesus to live forever in his kingdom. The raising of Jairus' daughter is a picture of the better future God has for all his creation, the salvation that he will finally bring. Don't be afraid, just believe. That's what Jesus says to his people. Maybe that's something you need to take to heart this morning as you come to Jesus on behalf of someone in great need. Keep on believing in prayer as you make your requests known for many needs. Keep on believing in Jesus who has perfect control even if you are receiving despairing news. Keep on believing by keeping your eyes on Jesus, who we read in Hebrews is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And if you've never come to Jesus, may today be for you the day when Jesus says to you, son, daughter, your faith has healed you, has saved you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This is Jesus, who has power over disease, power over death, power over lost causes, all merging upon his touch and at his word. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let us pray. Father, we are so desperately thankful for all the goodness, kindness, gentleness, power of Jesus. We thank you for these accounts in Mark's gospel, and we want to pray that we will have that faith, that belief that keeps on looking to Jesus in all our situations and for all those in our lives that we know who need the Lord. Keep us strong in our faith, strong in your word, seeking to make followers of Jesus disciples. And thank you for the glory of the resurrection, the hope that that is. The death is not the end. At the words of the living Lord Jesus, the Master, the Creator, the Saviour for the world. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.